Hello, and welcome to the second podcast of CCDNL. I'm Sienna, and I'm going to be your host for this podcast. Today, I am joined with CCDNL's very own Julita. How are you, Julita?
I'm fine. Thank you so much.
So for those of you who don't know who Julita is, why don't you kind of give a brief introduction about yourself?
Okay. So I'm Julita Utoyo. I'm Indonesian. I'm currently working as a lecturer here in the University of Bonn in Germany, as well as I'm doing my PhD research about Indonesian ICAT in the relationship with the European ICAT. Yeah, I'm living here in Bonn since 2 years. Actually, I live here in Bonn for almost 6 years already, as I'm doing my work in undergraduates, and now I'm proceeding to my PhD, and I'm also a CCDNL advisor as well as a board member of CCDNL.
Interesting. So how did you become aware of ECATS from the beginning? Like, how was that a thing?
Okay, maybe as my background as a fashion designer, so I always work with traditional Indonesian fabrics in creating a collections.
Okay.
And then I also get the inspiration from traditional fabric from my own country. It's like something which is make me pride, definitely, especially since Indonesia is very rich in traditional fabric. I have known ICAT weaving also for a long time, because in Indonesia, there are so many exhibitions, activities involving in traditional ICAT. I also often travel to other regions in Indonesia and have always been interested in their traditional fabric. So I got to know ICAT more deeply, definitely after I visited the eastern part of Indonesia. And I was amazed by the beauty of the motifs, the designs, and especially the value and history contained in this ICAT fabric. So since then, I've been very interested in deepening my knowledge about ICAT to this day.
Mm. You said you were a fashion designer. How did that happen?
Wow, I have to tell you a long story then.
We don't mind it.
Okay. So how I start as a fashion designer. Okay, I was born in a large family in Jakarta, in Indonesia, which is very close to art and craft. My mom can sew, knit, and do various handicraft, as well as all my big family. So, and when I was in the high school, I started to love the fashion world, and inspired me to become a fashion designer, because I like to pay attention to the way how people dress, following the fashion trends at that time. Yeah, and then after graduating from the high school, I studied fashion in Germany in the University Trier for almost 4 years. I really enjoy studying there and learn a lot about fashion design, creating a collection, pattern making, garment productions, and so many other things. And I also finished my bachelor degree there in fashion design and started working as a fashion designer. If we count, it's almost 20 years from now. Also now.
Wow.
So I started at the beginning as assistant fashion designers in Germany. And then after several years, moved back to Indonesia. And then I work in various fashion industries in Indonesia and Asia as a hat designers for ladies' wear collections, as a fashion merchandisers, and also working a lot in the retail business in fashions. So next is my job. Definitely in fashions allow me also to travel to various countries in the world to learn about fashion trend, about fabric, about people's lifestyles. Yeah, and then in the last few years, I became a lecturer, also still in the fashion field. Mm-hmm. I am a lecturer in fashion design and fashion management in Indonesia before I started with my PhD studies and with my lecturer here in the University of Bonn. Yeah, fashion has become an important part of my experiences. And what I believe is fashion is dynamic and constantly changing. which is very interesting for me. And yeah, I really love it.
Wow.
That's why.
that actually is super interesting. Then mm-hmm. how did you actually end up in CCDNL? Like this whole, like the fashion, and then you found out about ECATS and you just, how did that happen?
Okay, with CCDNL, because of my research is also focusing on ECAT, and I really love to be part of a nonprofit organization where I can transfer my knowledge and can help also CCDNL by giving some advisors and can meet directly with artisans from East Nusa Tenggara. I actually plan also to visit them, but currently due to the corona and travel restrictions, so I be able to have always a contact with them, you know. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Was there like some sort of like culture shock when you came to Germany and like no one knew what ECAT was?
Yes. But what during my, especially maybe during my college at that time, right? Mm. We, mm. Yeah, I did a lot of also collections using traditional ECAT or traditional other Indonesian fabric. There is the opportunity for me also to introduce to my friends or to other people about ECAT.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they really get the knowledge about it.
Yeah. Me. Gosh, what was their reaction when you were like telling them about this entire new world that they didn't know existed about this? I can imagine like the other fashion designers, when you're telling them about like ECAT, they're like, what is this? Like yeah. Entirely new like fabric weaving system that they didn't know about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to explain what ECAT is and explain also the processes.
Mm.
Because for them, they are always feel like amazed to see this kind of fabric, this wow. kind of designs and motifs, and the capability of the artisans to make the designs. Plus, there is also important historical value. Yeah, at the beginning, they're very interested to know more. So that's why I have to share with them as well. And I bring a lot of books because at that time, we don't have so many information through internet. So yeah. I brought some books about ECAT, and I'll also have some collections of ECAT here in Germany. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say are your like favorite colors to work with when you're like working with ECAT? Favorite colors to work with.
Okay, good question. Favorite colors, I think more to the natural colors, where ECAT are mainly made from, because ECAT made from the natural dyes, so definitely like earth tone colors, and also from the area from East Nusa Tenggara, there are a lot of kind of motifs and colors as well, but what my favorite is more into the earthy colors,
mm-hmm.
as well as more pastel colors.
Yeah. Yeah,
because when you use natural dyes, definitely your color will not that bright. Mm-hmm. And this is like, yeah, very, very exclusive and very calm colors.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So what is like your personal goal when it comes to working with ECAT? What do you personally want to see in that happening?
Okay, so my personal goal is, maybe the main personal goal is to preserve ECAT, definitely, because for me, ECAT has a valuable history, not only the beautiful of the motifs, the meaning, and also the significance of each motif, which is made with heart by the artisans.
Mm-hmm.
I also want that Indonesian ECAT to be known, definitely, and also appreciated in my own country, as well as also internationally, and definitely get the higher appreciation as one of the cultural heritage. Maybe you know that in Indonesia, we have also batik, which is known as the cultural heritage. And I hope also ECAT one day will become one of the cultural heritage as well. And yeah, my other personal goals that I wish that artisans to be respected like an artist, because it's not just a maker. Because I believe that making ECAT requires your own expertise, and learning process is carried out through the traditions, from mothers to child. So this is a very long process in the traditions. And I think preserving ikat is also very important because ikat is a sustainable product. Yeah, because ikat use mostly natural ingredients. Then yeah, I hope my personal goal, I can share my knowledge with the artisans to keep them making the ikat naturally, and yeah, don't use the chemical sustain on the ikat itself. Another personal goal for me is to help an artisan to market their textile so they can increase their income, so they can have a better life, to send their children to schools. Yeah, I hope my research and my activities in CCDNL is also be able to attract attentions of the public, or other researchers to help us in achieving our goals of preserving of ikat.
What would be your, like, what would you say are your inspirations? Like, I don't know, like artists that you inspire, like you look to them for inspiration, maybe just things around you. What, when you're like making your ikat or you're just thinking about it, what do you think of as your inspirations?
Okay, I see maybe other perspectives. You see from the landscape and take me also as an inspirations. Also a story. Yeah, I like to get personal stories from the artisans and then try to translate their personal stories into the design, as well as to see the motifs, the historical motifs. Let's say, for examples, in the historical, they used to take the inspiration from Dutch, for example, where all the florals or products are being made. Yeah, so my inspiration can go from anywhere, but mostly I'm focusing more into the natural and then from the people, from the story,
This is probably going to be a bit of a difficult question, but if you could describe ikat in 3 or maybe more words if you want, what words would you use?
Okay, ikat in short words. So maybe I can say first thing, ikat is a unique creations. Why I believe that? Because each tribe or each community in East Nusa Tenggara have their different motifs, their different colors, different materials with different meanings. So I think unique because it is reflecting on the artisans itself, because each creation is made by the artisans who have their own expertise, and also its design created on the important meaning and functions. So that's why I call it as a unique creation. So another description maybe for ikat is valuable process. Yeah, because I believe ikat is not just a piece of fabric, ikat is more into the process. As we know, the meaning of ikat itself is tying, right? Binding the thread in creating the motifs. And ikat is also used for something which is very important. People are using it for special occasions. Sometimes also they use for ritual events or some other important activities that they have. Also important is here why I say ikat is a valuable process, because making ikat takes also time and all is handmade and then involved in many steps, which made the indigenous tradition and tradition rituals that are very precious for us also in Indonesia. So one more, right? One more.
Maybe you can say as many as you want.
Okay, so what I can say is a culture, one a part of a cultural heritage, because ikat again is not only a piece of clothes. This is, we can say, as an identity of a nation. So because ikat will distinguish one tribe from another's, and because ikat is also makes the heritage of nation identities in terms of social, religious, culture, historical, and economic aspects.
Good words, good words. I was just thinking, you know, obviously CCDNL wants to make people in Europe more aware of the ECAT and just kind of like make sure that's like integrated. Do you think that the awareness is growing? Like in your opinion, have we as CCDNL like changed that? Like more people are more aware? Like do you think?
Yeah, I think with all the activities that being done through CCDNL, how CCDNL also promoting about ECAT, I think it brings a lot of attention for European. Because maybe if I can tell you a bit about historical, where ECAT actually has a close cultural links through the world, including to Europe. Yeah, maybe we start with the historical, how Western culture has a close relationship with ECAT textiles for centuries. At that time, the popularity of Indonesian ECAT in Europe very wide due to the opening of networks in the past few centuries. Maybe we can see from the beginning of the early 16th century where Portuguese and Dutch traded textiles from India, Indonesia, and from Europe. At that time, actually, ECAT textiles already entered Europe through Dutch traders in Southeast Asia. So all the merchants brought ECAT and started European production as well. So I think at that time, a symbol of Eastern cultures, luxury, ECAT as an exotic textile, right, become popular among the wealthy social classes, even in Italy, in France. Also, it comes also to Mallorca in the late 18th centuries. And in Mallorca, you still can find ECAT, they call it as quite similar motifs, but different type. So I think this relationship is very important to history and attract a lot of attentions also from Europeans today. Yeah, I think I hope also that Europeans will also interested in knowing more about ECAT and helping in preservation also of ECAT in Indonesia. Yeah, I think with the expertise of Europeans in designing, in creating a collection, in bringing up the sustainable material, sustainable product, I think we can together create a sustainable binding by preserving and respecting the cultural traditions. That I think I can see it in CCDNL, how CCDNL also try to connect this ECAT between European or the Netherlands and with the Indonesian. Yeah.
I hope. Let's hope. do you have any like future projects that you would hope that CCDNL like takes on for like the future of ECATs and something? I don't know, like maybe you want to collaborate with not a full country, but like some artists in like a country or something, like something that you would like CCDNL to take on for the future?
Maybe through my research, in my PhD research, I can work a lot with CCDNL, not only from the academic perspective, where there will be an articles published or there will be on conferences. That I bring up CCDNL also in conferences as well as a product. Because in CCDNL also there is a projects, right? A lot of projects where we have collaborations between the Indonesian designers and between Dutch designers and creating product using ECAT, but more into new kind of product, which is a contemporary and then tradition that it mix, which is suitable for both markets. Yeah.
How do you think Europeans view ECAT?
Sorry?
How do you think Europeans view ECAT?
Oh, right. Okay. Europeans find ECAT as one of the cultural heritage of Indonesia, and then they really appreciate it. There is still less knowledge about ECAT. You have to really, again, tell them what ECAT is. Because ECAT in Indonesia coming also from different areas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, from Sumatra, we have ikat. Also in Bali, we have, you know. So in CCDNL, we are focusing from the East Nusa Tenggara, right? So that's why, yeah, we need to bring up more informations and promoting ikat so the European will know it. And then, yeah, I'm sure they really love the ikat itself. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, I mean, that's all the questions from my side. Don't really know if you have any other remarks or comments to make or anything.
Let me think, maybe also about the current situations, right? How ikat are being promoted. Maybe we can see here that ikat is also nowadays very, how you call it, it's very well promoted. Mm. Yeah, like you also mentioned that we use a lot of social media to promote it. For example, in CCDNL, all our activities, we do it like using an online platforms, right? So we can connect the ikat artisans in Indonesia with people around the world. Mm. And then also, I think it's quite interesting and important way also now today's, especially in the pandemic situation that we can maybe cannot meet in conferences or meet face-to-face. But I think through this online platform, this is a good opportunity to, again, bring up ikat in the international way.
Mm, for sure. I mean, actually, we could have actually talked about how Corona was affecting some of the artists.
Yes.
Probably, I mean, you can probably talk about that. You know more about that than I do. About the pandemic and how it's affected just all the artists that we've been working with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually it's affected them a lot. Mm. Yeah, definitely, because it's not only because of the disease, but they have also difficulties in selling their products.
Yeah.
Definitely at the moment, if you see in Indonesian local market, people are tendencies not to buy things because they have to from the perspective of economical as well. They need to really stop their buying. That is really a problem for our ikat artisans. And then secondly, ikat also normally sold to the tourists, right? But during the pandemic, there is no tourists coming to East Nusa Tenggara, so they cannot also sell it to the people there. And also they have a problem getting the raw materials. Yeah. Like, let's say, for example, they buy the thread from Java Islands, and then through the COVID situation, to the pandemic situation, the shipment got problems, you know? Yeah. I think it's really hard for our artisans right now to make or to create ikat and selling ikat like the previous time.
Yeah, for sure. Like, yeah. We're obviously doing the whole like donating thing to help them get like the dyes and the water. Hopefully that has like helped them a lot. I think it kind of did, because there was some materials coming through. It's not a nice time for them.
Yeah, we try many ways to help them.
Yeah.
So yeah, to survive in these current conditions, because since last month also the pandemic is quite heavily impacted Indonesia again. But yeah, this week is getting better. Yeah, hopefully everything gonna be okay very soon. Yeah.
Hopefully there's like a a boom, and then all of a sudden like ikat is everywhere, everyone knows about ikat, then everyone knows about CCDNL. Fingers crossed for that to happen.
Yeah.
We want the exposure.
Yes. Thank you.
I think this was it from my side. If there was nothing else, then thank you, Julita, for talking to me about CCDNL, your work, and just ikat in general. If you ever want to talk more, we can always organize another podcast. So that's obviously always in the agenda if you want. But yeah, that was it. Thank you so much
for your interview. Have a great day. Thank you.
Yes.